Just a little love, a little kiss, just a love that holds a world of bliss. Eyes that tremble like the stars above me, and the little words that say you love me.
Once again, we bring you the romance of Helen Trent, who sets out to prove for herself what so many women long to prove, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over. That romance can live in life at 35 and after. Many smart French women agree that to have your lips look appealingly natural, yet ravishing and desirable, use Angelus Lipstick, A-N-G-E-L-U-S. This remarkable lipstick is the creation of Louis Philippe, distinguished French colorist. In it, he has blended colors to match the human blood. Rich, warm colors, so exquisitely subtle and alluring, and yet natural-looking. For they blend with every shade of hair, every type of complexion and eye coloring. Many French women use Angelus on their cheeks and lips, too, to achieve lovely harmony in their makeup. Even the case of Angelus lipstick is chic in the French way. Dainty, gold-plated, and embossed with the fleur-de-lis design. You'll find it in all drug and department stores. And if you want a new makeup thrill, try the gorgeous new Formal Red. Deep, intense, and yet subtle as the scent of a rose. It makes lips look alive, compelling. By day, it is vibrant, pulsating, and after dark, it weaves a spell of exotic glamour. Try it. Formal Red, number 404. You'll find it goes beautifully with the colors most fashionable right now. Now, other favorite Angelus shades are Framboy, number 414, and Coronation Red, number 400. So, to gain a captivating Parisian touch to your makeup, use Angelus lipstick. See if it doesn't give the allure, the appeal to your looks you've envied and admired in other women. I repeat the name, Angelus Lipstick. Again, the romance of Helen Trent. Helen has been working very hard of late, organizing an exclusive Hollywood dress shop in partnership with Chris Wilson. But recently, her plans were completely disrupted when Continental Studios informed her that if she divided her energies on an outside business, they would cancel her contract with them to costume motion pictures. Yesterday, however, Mr. Carl Harper, an executive at Continental, used his influence to have the studio retract its unreasonable dictate to Helen. And Helen, believing that Mr. Harper's was a simple kindness, does not know that the whole thing was planned by his spoiled stepdaughter, Doris. Well, today, we look in on the yet unopened shop in Beverly Hills. Helen and Chris are in the office at the back of the store, and at the moment, Chris is just about to mention Doris. Listen.
Helen.
Yes, Chris.
Do me a favor, will you? I'm going to drive downtown and attend to some things, and when Doris Harper comes by here, tell her I'm out and you haven't got any idea when I'll be back, will you?
Doris Harper?
Yes, the daughter of our benefactor, no less. I ran into her at the Derby at lunch, and she said she was going to drop in here.
Oh, Chris, I've been meaning to talk to you about Doris Harper. Remember the time she came by here and asked us for a job designing for the shop?
Oh, yes, but of course she wasn't serious about that. She was merely amusing herself.
Oh, yes, she was serious about it, Chris. Very serious. Mr. Harper talked to me about Doris when I was in his office the other day.
What do you mean, Helen? What did he say?
Well, I think we'll have to make a place for Doris on the staff of the shop here, Chris.
Helen, you're kidding.
What's the matter?
Oh, good heavens, there would be a catch in Harper fixing things for you at the studio. You mean to tell me he asked you to take Doris on here? Did he do that?
No, of course not. He didn't ask me to do a thing.
Well, then what do you mean we've got to make a place for Doris?
Well, here's the way it was. Mr. Harper was saying that he thought it was ridiculous of the studio to tell me I couldn't be in business and work for them, too, and that he was going to try to arrange things for me, and I mentioned about being in partnership with you, and he said he knew you, that you were a friend of his daughter's.
Yes.
So he said his daughter, incidentally, was very interested in designing clothes, that she'd taken a course last winter at a fashion school in New York and done very well. And then I realized that she was the same girl who'd come here and asked us for a job. And I told him about it and told him I'd met his daughter.
He brought all that in about Doris, incidentally, huh?
Yes, really. It wasn't pointed at all, Chris. We were just talking. He said that he and his wife were very anxious to see Doris do something constructive and cultivate her talent for designing. Said he knew it was hard for young girls to break into different careers and so on. And then he dismissed it. It was all very casual.
Well?
Well, then yesterday, when I went to his office and he told me he'd fixed things so that I could go ahead and own the shop here with you, he wished me good luck and all that, and said that he was sure that his wife and Doris would be among our customers, that Doris likes the kind of clothes I design, and, you know, he was awfully pleasant.
And so you feel that we ought to take Doris on here because her papa's done us a big favor, is that it?
Well, we don't have to, Chris, but I feel it would be the nice thing to do. If it hadn't been for Mr. Harper, think where you and I'd be now. He knows that we know his daughter would like to work here, and if we don't make a place for her, he'll think we're awfully unappreciative.
I knew there was a catch in it. I knew it.
What have you got against Doris, Chris?
Oh, I don't like to say anything against any girl, but... Well, I don't like her, Helen. I emphatically don't like her. She's spoiled and selfish and a rotten sport and... Well, a few other things.
Oh, she impressed me that day I talked to her as being very sweet.
Well, she's not, I'm sorry to say. In my opinion, she's a... Well, a pest.
Have you known her a long time, Chris?
Yes, I used... Well, she runs around with the crowd I used to see a lot of. As a matter of fact, I used to take Doris out a couple of years ago myself, the season she made her debut. But she's a spoiled brat, and to tell the truth, I've avoided her for quite a while now.
And she sort of chases after you, is that it?
Well, it would sound conceited if I said yes to that question, but it would be untrue if I said no.
I see. Well, that does complicate things a little. But, of course, in time, Doris will catch on that she's wasting her time on you, and she'll give up.
I hope so. Gosh, there's always a fly in the ointment. I've never seen it fail. I thought Doris was kidding coming in here and asking me for a job that day. I never dreamed she really meant it. Oh,
she's serious about designing. Her father told me so.
Doris Harper's not serious about anything but Doris Harper, Helen. There's no reason on earth why she should work. She lives the life of a social butterfly, and she's got enough money in her own name to buy and sell you and me a half dozen times. I don't want to take her on here, Helen. I don't want to have her around.
Well, what shall we do, Chris? Mr. Harper's been so nice. He told me that it took a great deal of persuading to fix things for me with the other executives at the studio. He went to a great amount of trouble.
I wouldn't be surprised if Doris didn't have a hand in that.
Oh, that's absurd, Chris. Look, don't hold anything against Mr. Harper. He wasn't the least bit pointed about Doris. It's all my idea that we ought to do something in return. I think we're really deeply obligated. Sorry, but we are.
And Doris knows we are, too. I'll bet you that's exactly why she told me she was going to drop in over here this afternoon and see me. Helen, we can't use Doris around here.
Well, we certainly don't need her, but we could make a place for her if we had to.
Well, like what?
Well, for instance, there's always a scarcity of attractive blouses. We could let Doris try her hand at designing some of those.
She'll be a liability, financially and otherwise.
Maybe she won't be financially, Chris. She can do some simple things and perhaps do them rather cleverly. I'm not trying to force her on you, but I just can't face Mr. Harper again at the studio unless we give Doris a try.
Yes, I know.
However, if you say no, Chris, then that's that. I don't want to overrule you. If you feel that Doris will annoy you and you can't get along with her here, then at all costs we won't take her on.
Oh, I can get along with her if I have to, I suppose. You're right, Helen. We're stuck with her on account of her old man. Well, go ahead and fix it up with her.
I don't think she'll be here long, Chris. Are you sure you don't mind now?
No. I'm just raising a fuss about, well, making a mountain out of a molehill, I guess. But you do all the talking to Doris, you hear? You employ her. I don't want her to think she's got me to thank. I'll stay out of it.
All right, I'll attend to it entirely. Oh, I'm sorry we have this problem, Chris. I hate for you to have to put up with what it'll mean.
Oh, it's okay, Helen. You can't help it. It's just that almost every favor somebody does you in this world, you have to eventually pay for. Seems to be a law of nature or something, I guess.
I really feel quite bad about the position it'll put you in, Chris.
Oh, I've got nothing against Doris, except that, well, I just don't like her kind. She won't bother me around here. I'll just let her catch on that I'm disinterested and busy, and I don't care to bother...
Oh, Chris, there she is out in front, just coming in the store.
Here, where's my hat? I'm going to beat it. I'll look out the side way here. You go ahead and fix it up without me, Helen.
All right.
I'll see you later.
Okay. I have to do this when Chris doesn't like the girl. I better go talk to her if she comes.
How do you do, Mrs. Trent? Remember me, Doris Harper?
Yes, of course, Miss Harper. How do you do?
Fine, thanks. Is Chris around?
Why, he just went out. He had some things to attend to.
Oh, poor Chris. He's always so busy. One of these days he's going to wake up and realize he's busied himself right out of all the fun in life. Oh, this is the loveliest dress on this form here. Did you design it?
Yes, I did.
It's superb. There's genius in this dress. Genius in every line and tuck. Oh, and the way the neck's cut. I think you're wonderful, Mrs. Trent.
Thank you. Sit down, Miss Harper, won't you?
Thanks.
I met your father recently at the studio.
Yes, he told me. He came home simply raving to Mother and me about your looks.
Well, I'm very grateful to your father for helping me out of a bad predicament about the shop here. I suppose he told you.
Mm-hmm. Carl's awfully sweet that way. He's always doing things to help people at the studio out of jam.
Well, he told me how seriously interested you are in designing, Miss Harper. I, of course, remember your coming in here before.
Oh, don't feel like you have to bother about me, Mrs. Trent, just on account of Carl. Oh, please don't. That's out of the question.
Oh, it isn't just that. Your father told me how capable you are. And I think it might be well for the shop to have a few things that aren't my work. Maybe some blouses or something?
No, now, really, you mustn't go to any trouble about me. I wouldn't want you to feel... Well, you know. Carl wouldn't want you to feel that way either. Now, just forget it.
Don't misunderstand me. I realize that, of course. But as a matter of fact, I do think that the shop might be able to use some of your work if it's satisfactory. And perhaps we could give it a try if you want to. See what you can do.
If I want to? Oh, heavens. If you'd let me, Mrs. Trent, I'd adore it. If you really want me, just because you think I could design things that might actually sell, oh, I'd be thrilled to death.
Well, it all depends on your ability, of course. You bring me some of the designs you've done, and if I think they show sufficient originality, then, well, we'll see about making a place for you here at the shop.
Doris Harper's plan, into which she forced her stepfather, has worked out exactly as she wished it. And now, it seems that Helen is bringing the first note of dissension into the shop. How will Doris and Chris get along? And how will this affect Helen? Well, listen for Helen Trent tomorrow. If you feel that life is growing dull and humdrum of late, it may be simply because you yourself are looking plain, unexciting, the fault of your makeup, your lipstick. Then try the lipstick that many noted French women use to gain the allure for which they're famous. Angelus lipstick. A-N-G-E-L-U-S. The lipstick that has been blended to match the live, vibrant colors of the human blood. Colors that strike an unusual note in makeup and give an allure beyond words. Many smart French women use it on their cheeks as well as their lips to achieve complexion harmony. And a single application will hold for hours. Get an Angelus lipstick today at any drug or department store at the same price as most lipsticks and gain the irresistible allure many French women have. Helen Trent will be on the air at the same time tomorrow. Helen Trent's announcer, Don Hancock.
To keep household mechanical devices running smoothly, use triple-acting 3-in-1 oil. Get 3-in-1 at any hardware, grocery, or department store. Also in 10-cent stores and automobile accessory departments. Ask for 3-in-1 oil today.